was a tremendous loss for the community. You know,
he was filming Chinatown during COVID.
He did. And he always wore a mask, but that wasn't, you know, this was before we had vaccines. And so it was a great loss. But we hope this book will honor him and his legacy.
We have to leave it there. May Nye, co-editor of Corky Lee's Asian America, 50 Years of Photographic Justice.
What does a flashing yellow arrow mean? It means a driver may make a left turn if there is no oncoming traffic and there are no pedestrians crossing the street. When at a signalized intersection featuring a flashing yellow signal, the green arrow lets you safely make a turn. The arrow will then turn solid yellow and then solid red, indicating no turn is allowed. When opposing traffic gets a green light, you will see a flashing yellow arrow. That means it's okay to make your turn when you can safely do so, but you must yield to oncoming traffic.
All right. Yeah, the flashing yellow arrow. That's one of my favorites, actually. It's new. It's fairly new. It's 6 o'clock on the nose. You're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM, 107.3 FM, and to the entire world over the internet on WUSB.FM. It's time now for another edition of Off the Wall. Thank you. And very good evening to everybody on this muggy Tuesday evening. It is muggy. It's finally muggy. This is Emmanuel for another edition of my throat is all stopped up. That's what the show's called. Off the Wall. Yeah. And I'm joined by Kyle.
Hi, E.
Your voice is nice and clear.
Is it? I hope. Whoa. You should get that looked at.
Yeah, who's going to...
Do you need a cough lozenge?
You know, I choked on one of those the other day. Exactly the opposite reason that you take one of those things. But, you know, I wound up swallowing it instead of... I'm not good at that. But thank you.
Well, they're available. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
It is bright out.
It's a bit nasty as far as brightness. Hang on, I'm just going to have a sip of coffee. I think that will help my throat.
Well, we're here on the radio dial.
Ow, that's hot.
Broadcasting.
Wow, you know, you make the coffee right before the show. And that's great. It's nice and fresh, but also it's piping hot. And not really any time to drink it.
Accept the compliment. And...
Ow, the roof of my mouth.
Are you okay hosting?
No, this is a cry for help, really.
All right. Well, we're all crying, aren't we?
There's a lot to cry about. Absolutely.
There's much outcry.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's certainly something. Well, I went to the doctor last week. Actually, not for this. Maybe I should go to the doctor for this. Although, really, I just have the proverbial frog in my throat. But they give you this little form. You're familiar. They give you forms to fill out. Stuff they should already know. Stuff you've told them before, but they want you to do it again. One of the things they asked me this time was, are you in any pain? They didn't ask me that, because that would be easy, yes or no. They asked me to define the level of pain that I was in. And that's an open-ended question. And what I like to do with you, Kyle, is have a little contest, I guess, or challenge, where I'm not going to tell you how many levels of pain are part of the choice here, but you tell me when you think I'm at the last one. Does that make sense?
No.
Okay, well, it doesn't make sense to me either, but it happened, all right? The doctors want to know your pain threshold. All right, and there's, you know, it goes from, you know, say zero to something. But they describe it in certain ways. And at some point you're going to say, okay, that's enough. That's enough pain. That's the last one. All right? So, first one is no pain.
Not the last one.
Very good. Okay, you get this. All right. So the next level of pain is very mild.
Oh, I can take that. Come on. Give me
so
some
you
more.
Think there's another one beyond
more,
that? Okay.
Yeah, give me some more.
All right. Here we go. Yeah, it's starting to get rough now.
No, I'm good. I got it.
Discomforting.
You know what? There's a lot that's discomforting me.
Yeah, that's
no,
my zone. That, right now, that's where I live.
Yeah, that is my comfort zone.
All right.
Go ahead. Give me a little more.
You're liking this a little too much.
No, I can take it.
All right. Well, that's not the purpose of this segment here, is to show how much pain Kyle enjoys.
I'll be quiet.
All right. So far we have, to recap for those tuning in, no pain, very mild and discomforting. And Kyle, you insist there's another one beyond that.
There is so much beyond discomfort.
Really? All right.
In this world?
Well, they're not talking about the world. They're talking about the human being that's in their office.
Oh,
but, okay. But you happen to be
correct.
You happen to be correct. There is another one beyond that.
More than discomfort in my.
You know what? I'm going to ask you to say what you think the next one should be after discomforting. How about that?
That makes
it a little more interesting.
You're changing as we're going.
I know. It's called evolution. Okay. It's called evolution.
All right, you're on your own.
You're not going to.
Next guest.
Come on. Fine. Tolerating.
That's after discomfort.
That's after discomforting is tolerating. And I can tell you, as somebody who is tolerating right now, it is more painful.
Okay, that was painful. I know that was directed towards me because we've had this ongoing thing. Most of you listeners aren't familiar. You know what? Never mind. Just
let's not drag the lawyers into this. There's
tolerating.
No need for lawyers to get involved at this point.
I believe I've been tolerating. So, I think there's more than
but
that.
But have you
though.
Been discomforting?
Wait a minute. That was before that.
You're right. Okay. I was testing you. So no pain, very mild, discomforting, and tolerating. Well, did we talk all the way through the theme? Oh, that was something. So you think there's something beyond tolerating? I feel like you do.
Yeah.
Okay. I need to remind you, there's only so much room in the paper. All right. But yes, there is one more. All right. And that is called distressing. Distressing.
You're trying to trick me.
I'm always trying to trick you. That's nothing.
I think there's more. Give me more than.
You really think there's something beyond distressing?
There is more pain
what
than distressing.
What could be beyond distressing?
Like we haven't even gotten.
And don't you point that finger at me when I ask that question.
Sorry, I was speaking too loudly over you. We haven't. It may have been the word I was about to use, which is excruciating, to hear us shouting. So. I think there's more than that. Yeah.
There's five levels of pain here, Kyle. Five levels of pain. How many levels of pain do you want?
There's at least 10.
Oh, come on.
Or 11 or 12.
No pain, very mild, discomforting, tolerating, distressing, and you insist it's something beyond distressing. Okay. Well, open the door. Yes, he's right. There is another category beyond distressing.
Aha.
And it
liar.
Is called very distressing. I want to know who wrote this. They must have had so much fun. So, and can you imagine being in very distressing pain, having to fill this out and go through all those?
Can you imagine being 50 miles away in a canyon stuck between two boulders with a very distressing pain? Yeah, I would, and no way to talk to or yell at anyone.
If you're stuck between two boulders, I think you're in good shape because you didn't fall down the canyon. So that's you might
feel
two
boulders.
A little...
Yeah, uh-huh. That's a good point. Yeah. They caught your fall, unless... It wasn't a fall. They just broke and... You know what? Never mind.
I'm looking for the lemonade.
I'm very distressing.
The lemonade in the cloudy sky.
But...
Whatever the phrase is.
I think people in this world, and myself included, might see something beyond very distressing pain.
And you don't want to guess what that could be.
Oh, you're, again, trying to get me to play with new rules.
But you're good with the words.
Halfway through the...
You're good with the words. I would like to give you a chance.
This segment's not going to end, is it?
Oh, yeah. It goes on for the whole hour.
You can just put very in front of every word you change to, and there are a lot of words.
That's true. That is a good point.
Specifically to talk about pain.
Let's hope that doesn't happen again.
Very distressing. Tremendous pain.
That's a good word, but no.
Excruciating. I want to use that.
You keep saying it. All right. It's not that. It's intense pain.
Oh,
intense
yeah.
pain, Kyle.
Intense.
And I really can't imagine anything beyond intense pain. Can you?
That is so tempting and funny at the same time, because I think there's more than intense pain.
Like what?
Unbearable.
No,
pain.
Very intense pain. See,
oh, very.
You even had it. You knew it yourself. You said that they stick very in front of words, and that's exactly what they
no,
did.
No, I was going to say super duper.
But I will say that's the last time they do it. That's the last. Oh, but I just gave away. There's another one after that. Okay.
Well, you're
but
doing
favors.
But
it is the last time. So that should also be a clue that we're coming to the end of the pain threshold here. No pain, very mild, discomforting, tolerating, distressing, very distressing, intense pain, and very intense pain. It's funny how they just started saying pain. Before they weren't saying pain. And now with intense, they have to say pain afterwards for some reason. I'm not sure why that is. But okay, so there is another one. I'll say at least another one after that. Any guesses as to what that might be?
Do I get a little credit?
Yeah, you get a lot of credit.
For having at least so much awareness.
For not running out of the room screaming, yeah.
There is more pain than this, yeah.
And credit to the listeners, too, who have stuck with us for this entire segment.
Intense. I don't know what's more than intense.
But when you give me a list like this, you know, I have to share it.
Earth-shattering.
Yeah, you should write this.
Calamitous. catastrophic.
Okay, it's
there
not like a spelling bee here. It's,
well, I'm not spelling. I'm wording.
But it's the same thought where you're trying to come up with the most annoying word possible.
You pop quiz me. like a minute into the introduction here, what kind of radio program is this? You know, how community? What
since
community?
Since 2003, we've been trying to figure that out.
God awful community.
God awful. God awful pain. Is that your guess?
Actually, that's a good guess.
Yeah, it's a good guess, but I don't think they're allowed to say that. I don't think they're allowed to bring God into it. Okay, but
it's secular pain. I mean, pain is mostly secular.
In the interest of speeding this up and of covering all the other things I like to complain about.
Catastrophic pain was
good word. I give you credit for the word, but absolutely no credit for the gas because that is not in there. It is horrible pain. Horrible pain. So we have no pain, very mild, discomforting, tolerating, distressing, very distressing, intense pain, very intense pain, and horrible pain. And, I mean, are you happy with that? Is that enough for you? Or do you want more pain?
You're trying to trip me up.
At this point, I'm as confused as you are.
Very horrible. No, you said that was out.
No more varies. So, no more varies.
Horrible. What's worse than horrible?
What's worse than horrible?
Horrible.
Trump. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to not do that.
I thought that machine was
just
off.
No, that was me. I just.
Oh, that was you?
It's kind of like, you know, when you can't suppress like a belch or something, it just sort of comes out.
Horrible pain. Horrendous. I mean, good if we're
word.
Going H words.
Good word. But it's not. Okay.
Got me. What else?
Can I give you a big hint and you'll thank me for this?
Incredible?
It's a word that you already used.
Excruciating.
Yes. Excruciating pain. How do you feel now?
I feel like I knew exactly where you were going. Right. And
try to imagine, you know, every one of these levels of pain is something different. So you can have no pain. You can have very mild, discomforting, tolerating, distressing, very distressing, intense pain, very intense pain, horrible pain, and now excruciating pain. Do you think there's any more, Kyle? Do you think there is another level beyond excruciating?
I want to be really dry and glib.
I know there's a lot of listeners out there to say, oh yeah, there's a lot more beyond excruciating. I'm listening to it right now, they're going to say. I know that.
Okay. Print journalism.
What kind of a shot is that?
Okay. All right. You're right. That was me.
They're not our enemies. I mean, we're over the air. They're in print. And we do print too. So come on.
Oh, no. I'm just.
Brothers in arms here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Long live newspapers.
Do you think there's one or not? Because I'm not telling you either way.
Pain.
But if you say there is one, then you have to try and guess the word.
I felt like it was over 10. I didn't count how many this has been, but I'm going to say there's possibly one more.
Okay, so then give a guess. Give a good guess as to what could possibly be more than excruciating.
You said it has no superlative, like,
does not prefix. Have any varies.
Okay.
Infinity plus ones, any of that.
Right. And I already said horrendous. And let's see, excruciating... I said unbearable at one point.
I didn't say it. It wasn't there.
That's a good, I mean, if I'm talking about excruciating mm-hmm. and then unbearable, I think that would be a little bit more.
Okay.
If I'm going to guess something, that's the first thing that,
is that gonna
I would
be
go
your
back
guess?
To. Yeah. I'll say that. I mean, nothing else really comes to mind, but I'm a little weary. This has been a real strong, a tough assignment. So,
imagine sitting in the doctor's office trying to figure out what level of pain you have.
Unbearable, pronounced. No, that's really mild. Yeah, I am not a machine learning
unbearable.
Algorithm.
No, unbearable
I don't know
is
any
a good
other
guess.
Words off the top of my head that
unbearable
I want to use.
Is a very good guess, Kyle.
Okay, I'm going to say unbearable pain.
Ooh, that's wrong.
Why do you build me up like that? It's so typical of society.
It is. I'm sorry about society.
You just but, love to see
you got
someone.
The you got the first part of it right. It's not unbearable. It's unimaginable. Unimaginable pain. And I will say that is the last one. So we have no pain, very mild, discomforting, tolerating, distressing, very distressing, intense pain, very intense pain, horrible pain, excruciating pain, and unimaginable pain. If you have unimaginable pain, I don't think you're going to be filling out forms. I really don't. I think it's going to be very difficult for you to do that.
Well, I think, you are coded that way by someone else as you're triaged and so on.
I got to tell you, I felt like a real schmuck going into the doctor's office and not having any pain. I checked no pain. All this, you know, wasted effort. And I feel like I let them down somehow. Just there for a checkup, that's all.
Good you're getting checked up, though.
Yeah, I like to think that. But boy, you know, all these surveys. And of course, you get surveys afterwards, too. How was your visit? You know, okay, and then follow-ups, and then the pharmacy gets involved. And
well, know that it's just a gauge for them to document it without being in front of you having a conversation, and that it is sort of relative, subjective, and you don't necessarily think about that whole rating system mm-hmm. whenever the acute pain is occurring, if it's lingering or comes in different intensities.
Yeah.
So to conjure that up after the fact, potentially, if it's not something you're experiencing in the same way that very moment, once you get into the system to actually see someone, it's an approximation. You can't be expected to be like so calibrated, I guess. But that's a good. I had an idea that it was a very big list, but
I'm gonna keep the list. I'm gonna keep the list to use on a daily basis.
Yeah, I think that's like latent first aid or something.
Uh huh. It's handy. It's handy in a variety of situations. But so that was my little medical adventure there. To call back an adventure that we had fairly recently, that was our voyage to see the eclipse in Texas, which really didn't result in us seeing much of the eclipse because it was cloudy, and for some reason it stayed clear in the Northeast, which it wasn't supposed to do. Okay, no problem. We had this amazing adventure through the South and the a bit of the West. We drove through states that are redder than red. I really mean that. I mean, Florida, Louisiana, Alabama, Texas. Did I leave anything out? Mississippi. Yeah, Mississippi for a little bit too, as well.
Teeny bit.
And of course, we had to take the train from Virginia down through both Carolinas and Georgia. So no blue states there anywhere. That was something. You know, apart from the angry pickup truck drivers in Florida, we had a great time with people, no issues, no arguments, no fights, nothing like that. And you know, traveling with you is always fun. It always is amazing. We always find joy in, you know, even if there's a severe thunderstorm all around us, that it's an adventure. It's always fun, and we do things that are just so memorable. We listen to radio. My goodness, the radio that we hear when we drive around is just unbelievable. I think it was New Orleans. We heard the station for the deaf, where they were reading grocery store prices from a newspaper so that people would know where the deals were, and just all kinds of other local programming. It's so important to do that. So please support local radio wherever you happen to be. And of course, that's us in this particular case, WUSB.FM, for those of you who feel obliged to pledge right now, that'd be great. But I did something that might have been a little foolish at some point during our trip. And I like to pick up, you know, like I listen to local radio, I like to pick up local snacks. And I saw this mentioned somewhere that boiled peanuts were a good snack. And they come in a can. It's from a company called Peanut Patch. Real Southern style, it says. And that's just this can. It's like, you know, picture a can of Campbell's soup. It's that size. It says boiled peanuts, original, slow kettle cooked, the South's favorite snack. Pop open and enjoy.
You know where we actually picked this up?
Where?
It was very late.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember exactly the state. It was on our way west at night during a fill up, and it was on a gas station shelf.
I mean, isn't that the right place to pick something like this up?
Yeah. Unbelievable. Just a lot of prepackaged, you know, grab and go snacks.
Uh-huh. I think I remember the gas station.
Yeah. Yeah. We were looking for like something that was, you know, had some nutritional value, like some protein. And
this looked really good. And then, you know, I don't know what it is. The more I stared at it, and the more I thought about it, and I think at some point you did something that I didn't do, and that was shake the can. Let's see if the microphone picks this up. That doesn't sound like peanuts to me. That sounds like liquid. I didn't realize they were in liquid. I'm not sure what the liquid is, but I'm told that not everybody cares for this, and some people are quite violently opposed to it as a snack, and I'm afraid of it. And you've just been basically reminding me of this almost every day since we returned. I see this can of boiled peanuts just pop up. I open the door, and there's the boiled peanuts right, you know, by my feet. It's shown up in front of my computer screen. It was even in a car at one point. You really want me to dive into these things? I don't know what kind of effect it's going to have on me. I'm afraid. I really am afraid.
I'm not encouraging this behavior. And I've read some of the instructions.
Instructions?
Yeah. Apparently, you can heat them for the best results.
What do you mean results? Results in me or results in the peanuts? Because I'm worried about what my results will be.
Heated in our fine brine is what it says.
Oh, God.
Or just pop open and enjoy.
Brine? Peanuts and brine?
Yeah. Yeah. So there's all the microwave. I imagine you can't put the can. Well, you obviously cannot put the can in the microwave.
It's the Deep South. They do things. I'm kidding.
In a microwave safe dish. Okay. Yeah.
But and, you do things like that.
Let's see. And you can store them in the fridge for several days. Okay. So yeah.
It's got one of those little, how do you describe these openings? It's
like a pop top.
Pop top. They don't have those anymore. Remember, everything used to be a pop top.
That's right. Yeah, it's maybe something you might find on pet food, but this is
well, that doesn't seal the deal for
it's
me.
It's unusual to nor ordinarily a can, a regular. It's like a regular soup can. You need like a can opener to cut through it, but this is not the this kind one. Of thing that you could take like hiking or I don't know. As a snack, if you're at a rest, as a driver of some kind,
but there's water or whatever brine in there. You can't just stick your hand in brine.
Well, I don't know if somebody's on the road. Maybe they like just pour a little bit out so that it doesn't make a mess.
I'm feeling sick just thinking about it. Maybe if we have some listeners that have had boiled peanuts in the past, they can make my fear go down a little bit. And maybe in a future show, I might actually try one of these. And yes, I will try it on the air because I want witnesses. All right.
I'm interested in what people do with it. I mean, is it you could just eat them plain? But I mean, do you make a mixer or do you have a recipe for the different components of this? You obviously get rid of the shell, right? You don't eat the shell if it's in the shell and it's boiled.
Are they in the shell?
Right.
So I've got to get my hands all sticky with the brine to de-shell all of them?
Well, I don't know. It might be that you just eat the whole boiled peanut, but it doesn't say anything about shelling them.
The picture doesn't show shells, does it?
No, they're in shells.
Oh, they're in shells. I can't really tell.
That's a pile of peanuts.
All right. Clearly, I dove into something a little quicker than I should have. So beware when you're driving through strange gas stations, not to buy everything you see.
Isn't it funny we didn't at any point open this can?
No.
It just no. Never dawned on us that I could really go for a boiled, yeah.
Maybe if we grew up, you know, down there, this would be something that we'd be dreaming about. I'll have them at some point and then I'll be dreaming about them afterwards, I'm sure. OTW@2600.com is our email address if anybody wants to write in with advice on what to do now. Just one more thing I want to mention about our trip, and then I'll let you go because I have other things to bitch and moan about. We found out that we had to mail something while we were driving. And the most incredible thing, you realize, okay, you're driving, you're in the middle of nowhere, all right? We were in Texas. It was after the eclipse. We were just driving through one small town after another small town. And I realized, you know what? Every single one of these small towns has a post office. And you can bet your bottom dollar on that. So, you know, we were worried that we weren't going to be able to mail this, what turned out to be an important letter, by 5 o'clock. I think it was like a quarter to five. Actually, it was a quarter to four. We forgot to set our clock in the car. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is we thought it was a quarter to five. And we were worried that an important letter was not going to get out in time. And I said, Kyle...
It occurred to us we should do this. The date's lined up.
I said, Kyle, don't worry. Because if we're going through a town, this town has a post office. Not 5 minutes later, we found the post office in that town. And we burst in there. And there was one woman who was working there, at least that, who we saw. Had a nice conversation with her about the eclipse and about Texas and all that. And mailed the letter, and it was incredible. And I just realized how awesome it is that you can depend on there being a post office in every town. And that is something that we should never take for granted.
Yeah, there's the constants of small towns and big towns and places in between in this country, and that is the local post office. There was one in a preserve, I think outside of Miami in Florida, that was just basically a very tiny building, and it was almost more of a roadside attraction than a functional post office. We saw a lot of different types, and they are like really noteworthy and unique and a hub for an area. Usually there are other businesses around and there's activity and you can count on them even after, you know, while a lot of people are traveling and during an event like this, and it will allow you to keep in touch and keep up to date in that system, you know, with that system and in that network. So
like so much else, though, there are people who will say this is just, you know, old and antiquated, outdated. We have all these other means of communicating. Why not send an email? Why not go to a website? Why not use a different courier company? We don't need all these buildings, all these employees. And yeah, you do. You need that, as you describe it, the constant. And you need to know it's there. And you need to know that your back is covered when you need something like that. And there are so many other ways that we can apply that. Payphones, for instance. That's one of my my go-tos. Landlines in general. Embracing new technology, but also preserving the old technology. Because, boy, it comes in handy sometimes.
AM radio.
AM radio. You know what? I mean, you're absolutely right. AM radio.
We heard good FM, but we do not ignore the AM side, and that was part of my job, navigating and tuning.
Well, remember WBAP in Dallas?
Fully.
When we were driving into Dallas later that night and the severe thunderstorms, you know, they just had massive storms yesterday. I don't know what it is about that area, but boy, did they get serious storms. But it was like nothing we had ever seen before, and I knew from my childhood radio DXing days of listening to distant radio stations on the AM dial, which you still can do these days unless you're driving a Tesla, I knew to listen to that particular frequency, that particular station, and sure enough, that's what they were talking about, is the severe thunderstorms that were coming in fast, and they used the emergency alert system about a dozen times that night. And then the next day, you know, we were in New Orleans listening to WWL, and they had severe flash flooding. It's important, and not just for weather emergencies, but just to be connected, to hear familiar voices. Yeah, there's a lot of right-wing nonsense on there. There's a lot of religion on there. There's a lot of sports on there, but you can get through that. you can debate it in your mind. You can listen to other perspectives. Not just avoid it all the time. And you know what? You can find other stations that are the exception. And there are exceptions out there, even on AM. So yeah, AM is a great thing to preserve. So yeah, that was some fascinating lessons that I think we learned.
Yeah, and even the older things, I'm most excited by like how they're retrofitted too, right? I mean, they aren't existing in the same context as they were when they were originally crafted. I think people forget that a lot of times. They're like, oh, this is purely vintage and like nostalgia. And it's like you're stepping back in time because it's a antiquated system. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case. It's as I said, it's remained constant in a transformed world.
Right.
It's still doing what it was intended to do in the ways it was. But it's how you use it, what use value it may potentially have in a different context or in a different future than it was originally anticipated.
I can't tell you the number of times where I've followed a link somewhere to see what somebody is talking about. Say they're making a point and they have all these pictures that they want to share, but the site that they share pictures with no longer exists, or they decided to move to a different site. So when you click on the link, you get a 404 error. You get not found. Whereas if we were using the old-fashioned paper system and somebody said, look at this book, that book would still be there. You'd still be able to find the book. You'd still be able to access it. So many things have become digitized. We assume they're going to be there forever. And people say that, you know, when it's on the internet, it's there forever. Not really true. Not really true. Things get deleted all the time. There's so much information out there. It's very easy for things to disappear. Sometimes that's a good thing. Oftentimes it's not. Oftentimes people put all their memories online and then they're surprised when they're no longer compatible with their latest browser or their latest computer. They can't see it anymore. And that's all they had. Or Facebook gets hacked or something and they lose everything, or they get into a dispute, or somebody takes over their account, don't have backups. I've heard this so many times. It's so tragic. People put everything online, don't have a local copy, don't have control.
Even some of the stations that you were excited about, like a lot of the college and even a high school station or two we streamed during our travels, we would read up. I'd never done this as much, but just basically you'd ask about it and I'd search and try to find as much info about the history of like how that station was originally used. And then it's always something that evolved and there's like intrigue and some story in how it transformed over the years. And the most exciting ones were the ones that people revered, both in what it was and then what they could make with it in the present. And there was a lot of exciting, interesting uses that were counterintuitive. There were things you don't normally think about. And we look for that. That's like part of just being a listener and exploring the dial. I hope WUSB is that oasis here on Long Island and takes up that tradition that's something we appreciate whenever we're away from this place.
Yeah, and many is a time, even in the present, where I find little oases in WUSB, what I'm listening to. I'm not going to point fingers and say who's great, but there are a lot of great people here. And hopefully our listeners appreciate that as well. And if there are others doing a better job, point us at them, and we'll listen to them and take notes.
The innovative stuff works, too. Like, you realize, oh, wow, this is totally unlike the programming, or this is totally unlike what it was originally intended when you look at the actual establishment of that frequency or license or what the ownership and other kinds of models supporting how it emerged. Mm-hmm. When you see exciting formats or just like encouragement or just really interesting conversation or interesting music and just coverage, even in like inclement weather
especially
those circumstances, yeah. When you have that flavor and connection, sort of like something that's going to tell you what's going on and who's around and what kind of activity and issues are important to people. That's the public service. Well, that's like the point of it being in the air.
I think the key is when there's actually a live person on the air. You realize that when you watch television, okay, the networks like CNN, MSNBC, even Fox, something happens someplace, especially on the weekend, like some news event happens and you hear about it on Twitter of all places or through other social media. And they don't cover it. They don't cover it because they're not there live. There's nobody there live. They're just running taped programming. They don't have a crew of people who can report on the story that you're hearing about through social media. And these are the big hitters. These are the ones that everybody tunes to. And yet it still takes them hours before they can even report something that is big news. Now, you know, you can look at more local stations like News 12 and you realize that, wow, okay, they have news 24 hours a day, but really they do a half hour and then they just keep repeating that half hour over and over and over again. You know, New York One is better, but still it's a lot of canned programming and there's not somebody there all the time. Radio, though, like you listen to the news radio outlets and you realize there's a human being there. There's an actual human being. They're saying what time it is. They're giving you the temperature and they're reporting if something happens at that moment. That is what makes a true connection with a listener. And it's what used to make a real connection with viewers when things were live in TV stations as well as radio stations. I just think that's something that we should never take for granted. the importance of a live human being who is local. You know, they pipe in voices from different parts of the country, people who aren't even there, who pretend that they are, can't pronounce the local towns properly. They don't know when there's actually a tornado bearing down. It's not a service to the listener to just have canned programming that's being repeated everywhere else in the country. So, yeah, that's something you learn when you drive around the nation. You hear, you know, voices that are local voices telling you about local things, and that's the magic that brings it home.
Yeah, and my quip about print, this sentiment goes for that as well. I think local news and stuff, newspapers, those reporters are out there, and mm-hmm. what you said about cable and the larger networks, they're so interested in commercial, in their commercial enterprise, and I think sometimes that quest for the bottom line really it puts a strangle on and a lot of pressure on the newsrooms yeah. to perform, because they can't afford to have people on beats and have people out there. So it really is it makes a big difference, that personal touch versus kind of a larger syndication format.
Well, I mentioned News 12, and that's a good example, because when Altice took over Optimum, they downsized a lot, and you yeah. noticed a lot of people were quitting or being terminated on News 12 because they were basically taking all the News 12s in the area. There's News 12 Bronx, there's News 12 Westchester, all over the place, and kind of merging them together and doing more with less.
Well, and editorial interests notwithstanding, like the larger networks are more unwieldy, or at least traditionally were, but like there's not as much of a reliance on satellite and a lot of the heavier equipment. There's so much being done with just telephone, which has been a power tool for radio, because so many great coverage has been done by people using mobile or even payphones back in the day to correspond and let people know over the airwaves what's going on at a different scene.
Look at what WKCR did recently with the pro-Palestinian demonstrations.
I was going to mention that.
On Columbia University.
Yep, student journalists combining efforts.
They did what no other reporter could do, because they were there on scene and they did a great job. And whenever you have a local station like that, you have that ability to be part of the story yourself and to report on it firsthand. And we don't all take the opportunity, but we have the opportunity, and that's what really matters.
Yeah. And I think a will to be as scrappy in the production side uh-huh. from cable and the larger networks to do more with less, like you said, but their reasons are different, so that's their excuse for the downsizes and stuff.
There's two ways of doing more with less. One is because corporate tells you to. The other is because you're like us at USB, where we get virtually nothing, and we make do, and we use our wits and our imagination to build something out of that because we care. So there's two different meanings to that phrase, and I like the latter one.
Yeah, and those combined efforts, usually you're deferring to expertise or to people with vantage, uh-huh. the vantage point, the sources, the proximity to the issue or to the coverage, instead of trying to show up and be big and prominent and have your largesse shape the story. And I guess by extension, your editorial whims. Mm-hmm. Whether you're there or not itself is like an editorial move. So it's really good that these other voices can leverage this ability to infinitely copy their work and get it out there and syndicated through other distribution means like that.
Yes.
Is a way they can extend their reach without the larger players' networks.
You just got to figure out how to use the system, how to build your own system, and that's what non-commercial radio is, and that's the magic of it. You can do things like that. You can link arms and have a much louder voice, and people will listen to that because it's more sincere. It's you know, more honest, and I like to think we're a part of that. Okay, so diving into some of the news that's been going on in the time we have left. You might have heard about this. There's five towns in Nassau and Suffolk County here on Long Island I should say five GOP-led towns in Nassau and Suffolk. Are there any towns on Long Island that are not led by the GOP now? It's crazy. It really is. I mean, I don't understand why this place is so damn red. We're in New York, and yet wherever you go in Nassau and Suffolk County, it's just Republican this, Republican that, and dare I say Trump supporters everywhere. I saw a kid wearing a Trump shirt the other day. Really, it almost made me cry. Seeing somebody so young and innocent and just buying into all this nonsense, saying that Trump is going to save us in 2024. My God. But to each their own.
I do not look to that demographic for
no, he couldn't vote.
Political
he couldn't,
wisdom.
He couldn't vote, but, you know, their minds are getting polluted with you know, fiction. And it's just blindly following. Yeah, you can accuse me of the same thing, but I criticize plenty. I think you know that. And I think many people on the other side criticize quite a bit, sometimes too much, because it winds up turning people against what you support. But at least we can sleep at night, unless the pain is unbearable. Anyway, these five towns are the latest municipalities that are challenging a new state law that will move most local elections to even-numbered years. Why is that a big deal? Why is that a big deal? Why do they care so much? I'll tell you why they care so much. First of all, the towns are Brookhaven, which is where we're sitting in right now. Yeah, we're controlled by Republicans. The town of Islip, Huntington, and Smithtown. That's just in Suffolk County. These are not villages. These are towns. So the town of Smithtown encompasses the village of Smithtown, but also the village of St. James, the village of Comac. And they're all like that. In Nassau County, it's the town of North Hempstead. And they formally joined a lawsuit filed by Suffolk County, which is also now controlled by Republicans, used to be somewhat Democratic, not anymore, and also Hempstead Town. Nassau County Executive White Supremacist Bruce Blakeman, who also, is that not part of his title? It should be. He's a Republican, and yeah, the GOP-controlled Nassau County Legislature. But just tell us who isn't GOP-controlled. That would be a lot quicker. They also filed a lawsuit arguing the state violated its constitution in enacting the new law and seeks to block it from taking effect, which begins in 2026. Now, what's the big deal about voting in even years for local races? Big deal, and this is true. They will tell you this. The big deal is that more people show up in even years because the races are bigger. You know, you have races for senator, races for representatives in Congress. You have the president, you have the governor, things like that. So more people show up in those even year elections. Less people show up in the odd year elections because, you know, you've got dog catchers running and town clerks and judges and all, you know, things that you really have to put in a commitment to make the drive over to the polling place to vote for these people, even though they're very important races. A lot of people don't get that. A lot of people just, they're too busy. They can't be bothered. Whereas something that is talked about all the time, everywhere, in all the media, they take more of an interest in that. So why not just have it at the same time? That way more people show up to vote. And that's the reason right there. More people show up to vote. That is not what Republicans want, because every time that happens, they lose, even on Long Island. Yeah, so if they keep the elections for these local races in odd years, they will keep control in all these Long Island towns like they have right now, because that's how they got into power. But if they move those elections to even years, more Democrats will show up because there are bigger races at stake. And yes, they will vote Democrat down the line. So, you know, Republicans have this thing where they want less people to show up to vote. You see this reflected all around the country. They're always trying to gerrymander. They're always trying to figure out ways to negate certain voices and make it so that even when they're the minority, they still have control. You see this in state legislatures all over the country. And it's all legal. It's all using the rules. But just because you play by the rules doesn't mean that you're doing the right thing. So don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by what you're being told here about the elections being moved to even years for all races being an evil thing, unless you consider people voting, more people voting, something undesirable. And if you think that, you need to have a good conversation with yourself. What exactly are you thinking? You don't want everybody voting on something that affects everybody, just certain people voting? Doesn't really sound like it makes much sense to me. Yeah, so that's a thing. Then you have another number. That number was five towns on Long Island. The number three is the number of European countries that are now formally recognizing Palestinian statehood. Imagine that. Yeah, Spain, Norway, and Ireland are all recognizing the Palestinian state. They made it official today. Israel is pretty upset as they continue their military offensive in Gaza. Their foreign minister, Israel Katz, yeah, his first name is also the name of the country. That is how patriotic he is. Israel Katz. He accused Spain's prime minister, Pedro Sanchez, of complicity and incitement against Jews for his role in recognizing a Palestinian state. Really? So because you want the Palestinians to have their own state, something pretty much everybody wanted, including Israel, not that long ago, because you want that simple premise, that makes you anti-Jew. Getting a little tired of every time you criticize Israel, you're anti-Semitic in some way. The prime minister rejected that claim in an address today ahead of a cabinet vote on the matter, calling the recognition a matter of historical justice and a necessity in order to achieve peace. He said, "The recognition of Palestine is not against anyone, least of all Israel, a friendly nation that Spain values and holds in high regard and with whom we aim to foster the strongest possible relationship. Furthermore, our decision reflects our absolute rejection of Hamas, a terrorist organization that is against a two-state solution." And that's something that Hamas and the current Israeli government agree upon. They don't want a two-state solution. They want to annihilate the other side. Ireland, which on Tuesday flew a Palestinian flag outside its presidential palace alongside those of European Union and Ukraine, said it had agreed to establish full diplomatic relations and would appoint an ambassador to a Palestinian state. "We have made this move alongside Spain and Norway to keep the miracle of peace alive," said their Prime Minister Simon Harris. "I again call on Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel to listen to the world and stop the humanitarian catastrophe we are seeing in Gaza." Jonas Gahr Støre, I'm probably pronouncing wrong, the Prime Minister of Norway, said in an interview last week that his country was taking action along with Spain and Ireland in an effort to salvage the possibility of a two-state solution in the face of an Israeli government that has openly rejected it. Mr. Støre said Norway is hoping to break what he sees as a downward spiral, with militant groups like Hamas setting the agenda on the Palestinian side and the Israeli government establishing hundreds of thousands of settlers on occupied land. And even if the reality of two states can seem far away, Mr. Støre said, more countries in Europe are making the same analysis as Norway, that the Palestinians should have the same rights and obligations that statehood entails. And if you're unwilling to accept that, I don't see a path forward to peace anytime in the future. We have to realize that what is happening right now is so incredibly wrong and short-sighted and does not serve the agenda of any nation. You know, there's a really, really good documentary making the rounds on, I think it started on BBC Three. You can probably find it on BBC World News. It's called The Other War. It's reported by Isabel Young, who used to be a Vice reporter. And it basically is about what it's like on the West Bank. Now, the West Bank is not Gaza. It's that other part of the Palestinian territory. And the abuses that innocent people there have to put up with on a daily basis are simply unimaginable. We might as well start using those pain adjectives again. It's really, really shameful to see what Israeli soldiers are doing, what illegal settlements are doing to people, what the government is pushing. It has to stop. And voices have to be raised, especially from friendly nations to Israel, to get them off this dark path. If they're going to have any hope of having a peaceful nation in the future. What we saw in Rafah over the weekend was absolutely horrendous and unforgivable. And I'm sure most of the people listening do not accept Benjamin Netanyahu's excuse that it was a horrible accident. Imagine you're talking to somebody who is standing in the middle of a forest with all kinds of dry timber all around. And this guy's got a cigarette in his hands. And everybody, there's a crowd of people around them, says, "Don't drop that cigarette. You will start a forest fire if you do." And he ignores them, drops a cigarette, and the whole forest burns down. Would you accept him saying it was a horrible accident? Everybody in the world was telling Netanyahu, "No, this is wrong. This is a bad idea. Stop it now." He did not do it. He went ahead, murdered innocent people, and then expressed surprise that it happened. Don't let him get away with it. Keep thinking. Keep listening to different viewpoints and getting the headlines from all sorts of different sources. And talking. So important to communicate. Pay attention. It does matter. As do so many other things in this world. We don't have time to get into any more tonight, but please write to us, otw@2600.com. Thanks, Kyle, for all your insight tonight, and we will be back next week. Good night.
Bye, y'all.